Well, good morning, everybody. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to see you, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Shannon Baxter. I'm the pastor, of Congregational Connection. I'm so glad you've joined us here for worship today, whether in person or online. I want to encourage you, as you're here, please let us know you're here. There are pew pads in the seats if you'll fill those out. And if you're online, please click on the link that shows you how to check in with us. And if you're a first-time guest, thank you so much for being here. Please let me know if there's anything that we can do to help make your experience that much better. I have a few announcements that I want to make you aware of as we go forward. Our big announcement is that next week we'll be celebrating our 150th birthday as a church. So we're very excited about that. We're thankful for all that God has done through this congregation for so many years, and we want to celebrate that next week. So next week, we will have one service together at 10 o'clock a.m. in the sanctuary. Prior to that, at 9 o'clock, some Sunday school classes will meet, including children and youth, so make sure you mark your calendar on that one. And then in the afternoon, from 2 to 4, we will have our big celebration. It's going to start out on the West Lawn, which is over here. We'll have lots of cake. We have talked lots about cake, and the cake is going to be great. We'll have blow-up bouncy houses for the kids and youth, a ministry fair with some of our missional partners and in the first floor gym, and then items from the archives and history will be out here in Reed Hall for us to look at and celebrate what God has done through this congregation. And then, starting at 4 o'clock, this is a lot, but starting at 4 o'clock in the sanctuary, we will have a hymn festival featuring guest conductor Anton Armstrong. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that next week. Bring your friends, bring your family. It's going to be a wonderful time. We are also in the need of more volunteers to help make sure things are set up and cleaned up afterwards. So if you have some time, either before the celebration in the afternoon or afterwards, please let me know or any other staff know. We would be happy to accommodate you and give you a job to do. That would be very helpful. And one last thing I want to mention is to make aware of the Habitat for Humanity build on October 21st. If you have a portion or all of your day available to help support affordable housing here in the Nashville area, I encourage you to be a part of that. Information about that can be found on the website, or you can reach out to Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye. And I lied, I have one more for you. We have a training coming up for those who would like to assist in the preparation and serving of Holy Communion on Sunday mornings. So if you'd like to be a part of that team, there's a meeting on Wednesday, October 18th at 6:15 here in the sanctuary, and you can reach out to Reverend Will McLean for information about that. Today, as we walk through the Bible this year, today we are in the book of 1 Corinthians, one of the letters Paul writes to a church he helped to form in Greece. We'll see how God calls us to use the gifts that have been given to us so generously. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin.
Just as one body has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized in one Spirit. Let us set aside the labels of the world would use to divide us, for we are all baptized in one Spirit. Let us worship the God who created us to be one body, holy and beloved, for we were all baptized in one Spirit. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of us all, your Son Jesus calls us to relationship and service in you. Give us eyes to see the gifts we all bring in shaping the kingdom of God. Where we have failed to see your grace at work in the lives of others, have mercy on us. For the ways we've missed that same work in ourselves, open our hearts to the possibilities. Forgive us for the times we've acted selfishly and too independently. Remind us, Lord, that we belong to one another. May we be people who appreciate the beauty of our diversity and are united as the body of Christ. May we be partners with you and each other through the power of our Holy Spirit. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Baptism of children. This morning, Chris and Rebecca Donnell bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the holy sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given birth, new birth, through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, which is offered to us without price. Chris and Rebecca, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ is open to all people?
I do.
Chris and Rebecca, will you nurture this sweet girl in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
I do.
You got it. It's easy to be distracted, yeah, with such joy. Friends, I invite you, the congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your loving care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water and she who will receive it, to wash away her sin and to clothe her in righteousness throughout all her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she might share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, my friend. Chris and Rebecca, what name shall be given to this child?
Carter Ruth.
Carter Ruth. Hey, sweet girl. Hey, I've got this microphone. Carter Ruth, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mom and Dad, we're going to go all pray for you. You want to lay hands on Carter? Carter Ruth, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you will live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Amen. Church, I think Carter Ruth might become a preacher based on the joy that she carried this day. Of all the children I've baptized, I don't know if I've ever baptized a child who is as uniquely joyful as Carter Ruth was on the day of her baptism. Carter Ruth, this is your church family. These are your friends who will teach you the way of Jesus, who will train your enthusiasm to be an enthusiasm for peace and justice, who will be the ones who encourage you when you struggle to keep believing in the God who makes a way when it seems there is no way. They'll be your Sunday school teachers. They'll be your advisors and guides. And here's the coolest thing. You are going to teach us in your unique way of following Jesus what it means to be the church so that all of us will truly learn what it means to grow up into Jesus Christ.
I'd like to invite you to open your bulletins to commendation and welcome, and please stand and face Carter Ruth, as it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Carter Ruth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Carter Ruth, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 14. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite the children to come down for a special time together. And if you're joining us online, I invite you to sit just a little bit closer to the screen. All right, got some good folks coming this morning. All right, thank y'all for being here this morning. I know it's fall break for a lot of us, so I'm glad that we're all here together. All right. So I have a question for you all. How many of you like presents?
Me.
You like presents? Yeah, and when do we usually get presents?
Christmas.
Christmas, that's a great time.
Birthday.
From Santa, that's right. That's right, we still get gifts from Santa in our house. Where else do we get gifts? Birthday.
For your
birthday, that's right. It's so much fun to get gifts. Do you have fun giving gifts to other people too? Going out and shopping and finding the right thing and giving it to them? Well, what would happen if you bought a gift for somebody and you didn't give it to them? You wrapped it up all nice and pretty, and then you stuck it in your closet, but you never gave it to them. What would happen to it?
Sad.
It would be kind of sad, wouldn't it? And it would sit there, it would get all dusty, and you'd see it the next year and wonder, why didn't I give this to this person? Well, I want you to think about this. Gifts don't come alive until they are given away. Gifts don't come alive until they are given away. In the scripture we read today, it talks about gifts that are given by God. But they aren't physical presents, like something you get at your birthday or at Christmas. They're traits, their abilities, their talents, things that God gives us directly. And God gives those to us so we can help others know who God is that much better. So I've got this gift over here in this bag. It's something that we usually give to our first-time members, but if I made up that gift and just left it in my office, it wouldn't be useful, would it? They wouldn't get to have the nice West End coffee mug that's in there or the bumper sticker that's in there. They wouldn't get to enjoy that. And like the gift bag, they aren't any good unless they're given away. So I want to encourage you guys, as you look at the abundance of the things that you have, of all the things that God has given you, all the talents you have, to give them away to other people so that they can get to know God that much better, because then they're special. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray real quick. Dear God, we thank you for the way you have blessed each one of us, and I pray that you will help us to take the gifts you've given us and to spread them to everybody around us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. If you are between 3 and 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if not, you can go back and sit with your family and friends. All right. Go ahead, big man. For the last 9 months, we have been working through the books of the Bible from Genesis, and we'll wind up in the book of the Revelation towards the end of the year. And we've done this as a way to open ourselves up to us to a new understanding of what this sacred text, the Bible that we read, what this sacred text means to us both individually and as a community. The work we're doing of living together week after week in the Scriptures offers us an opportunity to unify around something that we don't usually do a lot in our busy lives. It creates space for conversation and shared experience that may be absent from the way that we spend our days and our weeks. This week, as we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that it's one of the churches that the Apostle Paul helped to create. He had been to this region about 3 years prior to writing the letter, so he was intimately involved in the creation of this church and knew what this church had to offer, as well as what it struggled with. So he was interested in how they did church. The unity that we hope to create by traveling the Scriptures together each week is one that Paul longs for this church. We get a sense very early on in the letter that something is not quite right. And Paul takes them to task for the things that seem to separate them. At the very beginning of the book, in verse 2 of chapter 1, we see Paul connecting them to the believers outside of their city, setting the stage for a conversation around being more than mere individuals and then being more than one geographically defined group. In the theological world, a church is defined as a contextual body that is made up of people in a particular place, in a particular time, that gather together over common belief. The Corinthian church is one that has a particular flavor based on the community it resides in and the people that make up its gathered body. The city itself is one that has wide socioeconomic gaps with a lot of money to be made through the trade that happens in the routes around the waters around them. The city is home to a variety of religions that trade has brought, meaning they were replete with temples to a various number of deities. Throughout the book, you'll find references to food sacrificed to idols and how to live faithfully with so many things around them that seem to be antithetical to their faith. And it's this city with fractured lines of haves and have-nots and varieties of belief that the church occupies. And some of those same personalities, those same traits, have been brought into the houses where they meet. They're not left at the door, but the influence becomes deeply seated in each person, ultimately creating the need for admonishment toward unity within the church. When discussing the importance of coming to the communion table properly, Paul gets onto the wealthier of the church members for partaking in their own meals, leaving out those that are less affluent as they gather together to commune and ultimately partake in the Lord's Supper. The drawing of lines within the gathering of the church flies in the face of what church is to be about. So when we get to the text that we've read today, the foundation has been laid for a conversation around what each of us brings to that table and how we are to use those gifts. The body imagery that Paul uses is one that any of us can identify, and it's not hard to imagine, no matter our ability levels, what it would be like to not have certain parts of the body or certain abilities. So Paul seeks to touch on that by the understanding by equating the gathered community as a body. In order for it to be fully functional, it requires all the parts and pieces to work together. No one piece is more important than the other, and no one task is more important than the other. And it's here that we recognize some of what Paul has been saying all along throughout the book. He has spoken about the need for unity, for an end to jealousy and quarreling, and a recognition of where the gifts we all get come from. They come from the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit all to help us understand that the gifts given are not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the church. Our gifts aren't there to help us. They're there to help others. In chapter 14, verse 26, Paul goes on to say, "Let all things be done for building up." Church community is about mutual support, not so much about what we need or what others need, but it's about what other people need, regardless of who they are. One of my favorite TV shows of all time is the sports-related comedy Ted Lasso. The show is about what a middle-aged Midwestern American football coach brings to an English professional soccer team as their head coach. Through quippy one-liners that will leave you in stitches and heartwarming interactions that illustrate everyone's need for self-care and positive self-talk and community, the show offers a commentary that leaves you challenged and encouraged at the same time. By the end of the show, a book is written about what took place with this team, and the author wants to call it the Ted Lasso Way. But before the show ends, the title character leaves a note for the author encouraging him to change the title to The Richmond Way, which is named for the city that the team hails from. He says, "It's never been about me. It never has." Though Ted was the title character of the show, he wanted to make it aware to the world that everything that helped to create this great team was not because of any one person's influence, but by the power community has to change lives. Over the last month, Will has led us through a discussion on the art of belonging. As we talked together each week, we understood a little bit more about this sense of belonging that is important to each of us, and that the part that each of us has to play in creating that sense of belonging for others. That's a key thing for each of us to remember, that everyone is searching for that belonging. And then what better way for us to belong than by cultivating a culture of belonging for others? Again, our gifts are for the benefit of others. This is where the lesson of humility that I see in Ted Lasso is important. Our call is to be about the needs of others, to use the gifts God has blessed us with to ensure that others have a place of belonging. But we also need to be vulnerable and humble enough to acknowledge that we are seeking that belonging ourselves, and we need to share our burdens. It's a middle ground of trust. Trust that I can be who God has made me to be and who God calls me to be in this place, offering my gifts to the body while also allowing the gathered community to care for my needs. Being fed and doing the feeding are not mutually exclusive. It's imperative for the health of the body that we ensure both are happening. So that comes with a need for understanding of who we are and an exploration of how we fit into the community. It also comes with an understanding of who we are as a gathered community. The title for my sermon is The Importance of Being We. It was meant to have multiple meanings, or if you're an English nerd, a double entendre, thanks to the input of Carol and other staff members. It's important for us to understand who we are individually, both for a sense of self-awareness, self-actuality, and self-love. And it's important to understand that we were created to be we. We were created for community. Whether you think about it anthropologically, psychologically, or theologically, we are individually stronger when we are connected with the lives of others. And if you capitalize the we in the title, as is in the bulletin, it stands for West End. It's important that this gathered body be who we are, who God has called us to be. The body of Christ extends beyond this congregation, so the giftings of a group can also be referenced when we look at Paul's imagery of the body. Each church is contextual and will have its own personality, its own giftings, its own callings. And there is a need to identify those things and how those gifts fit into the wider community of the wider body of Christ. West End is a United Methodist church. So we are connected in some very vital ways to like-minded churches around the world. And we support those churches in ways that harkens back to what Paul is talking about in our scripture. The body needs us all, in order to meet the needs of a creatively diverse world. No one part is more important, and no one part is more right than any other. The Nicene Creed, which is one of our more ancient statements of the Christian faith and can be found on page 880 in your hymnal, states a belief in one universal church. If we and others take Paul's words to heart that our gifts are for the benefit of all, for our flourishing and growth into the likeness of God, then we can truly be that one church that we strive to be. So the invitation in our scripture today is to do some personal and communal searching. Who am I, and how has God uniquely gifted me to build up my church community? How am I called to use those gifts for the benefit of the person sitting next to me, across the aisle from me, in a different worship service than me, in another Sunday school class than me, in another service opportunity than me? Fill in the blank. Church leadership is in a season of discerning leadership for the next year. How do you fit into that conversation? Where do you feel your passions are being stoked by the ministries of the church? And then, who are we? Who is West End? Who are we as a gathered community, and how is God calling us to be a light to our city and to our world? In the words of author, theologian, and pastor Jason Biasi, the church is never for us. It's for our neighbors, especially our neighbors who don't like us. How do we realign our gifts so they're not about sustaining and growing us, but they're for our neediest neighbors? The inspiration for the sermon title comes from Oscar Wilde's play, The Importance of Being Earnest. It's a comedy about what happens when two individuals pretend to be someone named Ernest in order to get out of social obligations and win the hearts of two women. In the end, they realize that their pretense is more real to who they are than they thought. May we as individuals recognize the importance of being who we are, who God has created us to be, and who we have been called to be in this gathered community. And may we realize who God has called us as a church to be for the benefit of others. Amen.
In response to the good news of Jesus Christ, I invite you to stand as together we claim the hope of our confession by sharing together the confession of the United Church of Canada, found on page 883 of your hymnal and in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, it's always a great joy for us to be engaged as that community of we through the practice of praying with and for one another. And so if you're worshiping with us online, I invite you to share how we might be praying for you on the Contact Us tab on our website. And here in the sanctuary, in the gray cards in the pew right in front of you, you'll have the opportunity to share how we might be praying for you. And if you would share that request in the offering basket when it is passed, again, would be our great joy to join alongside you and prayerfulness. Today we are celebrating the birth of Wheeler William Gunter Gray, who was born on September 21st in Aspen, Colorado, to Raleigh Ann Blank Gray and John Gray. He's welcomed also by his big brother Edward Wiley Gray and grandmother Peaches Gunter Blank. Even as we celebrate Wheeler William's birth, we are also recognizing those in our communion who have joined the communion of saints. In particular, Ralph Cadenhead, a member of our church who passed away this Friday morning. We remember his family in our prayers, even as we celebrate his life eternal with Christ. Memorial plans for Ralph are forthcoming. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. You delight in sharing with us the fullness of your life and love in the giving of your Son, Jesus, and the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. You have trusted us with glorious gifts, abundant resources, brilliant talents, and creative skills that allow us to experience the delight of co-creating with you. In your grace, we ask that your Spirit lead us to more fully discover the unique gifts you have gifted to us as disciples and as your community, the church. Open our eyes to see the way our gifts might be of service to you and to our neighbors. Help us to hear when your fresh voice summons us to co-labor with you in ministry. Bind us together in your Spirit that we would know the power and the promise of living as your church. And in our own discoveries of grace, might you form in us the kind of community that helps our parish discover its gifts, its call, and its invitation to ministry with you. Lead us to encourage the crestfallen and those who fail to know their brilliance. Gift us with the humility and the clarity to name when the use of our gifts and resources unravel the binds of community or further impoverish the poor in our midst. Inspire us to dream with you and to stir up in our city a renewed imagination for justice, mercy, and the joy of belonging in beloved community. All this we ask, O God, as we claim the gift of being named as your children, and so pray with confidence the prayer your Son, Jesus, is teaching us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's my great joy at this time to invite for our ministry moment Mr. J.L. Nave, the chair of our finance committee.
I've had a lot of fun chairing the finance committee this year.
Amen. Thank you.
I serve with a wonderful group of people who have spent the last several months talking about how we can be the kind of stewards of the church's finances that God wants us to be. Our belief is that we should collect all we can, save what we need, and spend the rest for the glory of God. If you were at the town hall last Sunday or you watched it online, you heard me talk about the 12% increase in pledges that were made in 2023. That allowed us to lower the tuition for Vacation Bible School from $35 to $10. That allowed us to have our all-church retreat. And it's allowing us to celebrate with a full day of worship and celebration our 150th birthday next Sunday. Over the past 2 months, the clergy and staff have been thinking about what the dreams should be for 2024. Some of those dreams are to cover the lost funding from the Wesleyan Foundation, which supports campus ministries, send our Sunny Day Club leaders to a conference about dementia care, create new opportunities for our children to participate in hands-on ministries, and provide financial aid to help more people participate in mission trips. Nearly 75% of the church's income is from pledge giving, so it's an essential part of our budgeting process each year. But making an estimate of giving is more than simply filling out a pledge card. It should be, first and foremost, an important spiritual exercise that allows each one of us to reflect on the gifts God has given us, and show our thanks for those gifts by giving back to Christ Church. If you think you're not in a financial position to make an estimate of giving, know that this exercise can be meaningful for everyone. It's the process of prayer and collective commitment when you make an estimate of giving that is most important, not the amount. So if you're a member of West End, you'll receive an estimate of giving packet in the mail in the coming weeks. If you've never turned in an estimate of giving, I encourage you to make this the year you start a new spiritual tradition. If you've not made an estimate in a while, I hope you'll make this year a time of recommitment. And if you make an estimate each year, talk to others about why you do that and what it means to you as an act of faith. For example, I make an estimate each year because doing so helps me feel more connected to the collective work of the church. Giving Sunday is November 12, when we'll have the opportunity to make a collective commitment for the following year. For now, let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary we'll pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
Thank you.
hear this benediction. We're all here for a reason. God has called us into this place, and God has called us to be who we are. As you go out into the world, take that knowledge with you and help others to see the Christ-likeness in themselves. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.